Hello, and welcome to Always For Animal Rights, Ottawa's first radio show about animal rights, veganism, and activism. Tune in every 2 weeks to hear my discussions with inspiring people who are dedicated to ending animal exploitation. I'm Carolyn, and on today's show, we have my recent interview with Sandra Higgins, the founder and director of Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary and the Go Vegan World campaign. I'm excited to share this interview with you as Sandra's work is vitally important and is making a positive impact. But first, let's take a look at some of the latest animal rights news. And here's this week's animal rights news. This past weekend, on Saturday, August 24th, about 100 activists marched through the streets of Montreal to demand an end to speciesism. Speciesism is discrimination based on species membership. The abolition of speciesism requires an end to all forms of animal exploitation. The French chants included, among other things, anti-speciste, which means anti-speciesist, and justice pour les animaux, which means justice for animals. Here are some audio clips from the march. Meanwhile, during the weekend of August 17th to 18th, the Animal Liberation Toronto Conference took place. A coalition of some of the largest environmental groups in the United States is filing a lawsuit against the Trump administration, which recently announced harmful changes to the U.S. Endangered Species Act. The changes to the act would make it easier to remove a species from the endangered species list, and it would eliminate protections for species that are threatened but not endangered. It also allows officials to consider the financial costs of protecting a species as a factor in the decision of whether to protect that species under the legislation, and it allows regulators more leeway in determining the meaning of the phrase foreseeable future. The environmental groups include the Center for Biological Diversity and Earth Justice. They have stated that these changes seriously weaken the Endangered Species Act. They are going to challenge the changes to the act in court. In July, the UK government passed a bill that will ban the use of most species of wild animals in traveling circuses by 2020. However, this bill does not go nearly far enough. It is unfortunate that reindeers, zebras, camels, and domesticated species will still be permitted to be exploited by traveling circuses. Now, the summer months are a great time for holding a march. On August 17th, a record-breaking 12,000 people participated in the Official Animal Rights March in London, England. The Official Animal Rights March is a vegan march that was founded in 2016 by a group called Surge. It takes place annually in cities around the world. According to Surge's website, quote, "The purpose of the march is to unite the vegan community globally and to inspire vegans to speak up for animals in their everyday lives and get active in their local communities," unquote. On July 31st, 620 cats were rescued from a truck that was transporting them to a slaughterhouse where their bodies would have been turned into sausages in Nanjing, China. The cat meat trade is legal in China, but popular opinion is against it, and it can be prosecuted under Chinese food safety laws. After activists reported the truck to authorities, the trader surrendered all of the cats rather than face prosecution. The cats were then taken to animal shelters and foster homes. Of course, there is no difference between the slaughter of cats and the slaughter of chickens, pigs, or other animals. Vegans reject all forms of animal exploitation. And that's it for this week's animal rights news. Now, Sandra Higgins is the founder and director of Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary and the Go Vegan World campaign. Recently, she spoke to me about the campaign and the sanctuary. Here is that interview. Welcome to the show, Sandra.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Now, I understand that you've been running a campaign called Go Vegan World. Could you please explain for our listeners what is Go Vegan World?
Go Vegan World is an animal rights organization that's inspired actually by the animals at our sanctuary in Ireland, Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary. So the organization engages in public advocacy for animal rights and veganism. So we promote public awareness on the sentience of non-human animals and our moral obligation not to use them as resources or objects for our use. We challenge the myth of human supremacy, and we challenge the property status of our other animals, and we promote the complete and rapid abolition of human use of other animals. So we began our work about 4 years ago when we first ran an educational campaign on billboards throughout Ireland, and it was very successful, more successful actually than we ever imagined. So we've continued our work in Ireland, and we also run in the UK. We've run a campaign in Toronto, and we run social media campaigns continually as well. So in addition to our educational advertising campaigns, we do a lot of media work, radio and television interviews. We give talks on animal rights. So we've spoken in Ireland and not so much in Ireland, but in the UK, in the United States and in Toronto. We also work with farmers who want to transition away from animal agriculture. We provide our own materials free of charge to other like-minded individuals and organisations. And we also have a legal department that uses the law to protect the rights of vegans to live without exploiting other animals. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Thanks. Yeah, the Go Vegan World campaign is really wonderful. So what was it that made you decide to go vegan?
I had actually, strangely enough, started the sanctuary before I went vegan. So the sanctuary itself started quite by accident when I was given two orphaned lambs, and I just became aware of their sentience in a way that I never had before. And shortly after that, we rescued some chickens. And it was their sentience that started me. It started this process in my mind of a process that challenged my speciesism. And then one day I had reason to visit a dairy, and I saw what I can only describe as very bewildered, distressed goats who were bloody. They had just given birth. And I was given one baby goat who cuddled into me just like a cat or a human baby. And then I was taken to another building that was full of newborn baby goats, all female. All the males had been killed that morning. And the baby goats were trembling, and they were sucking from rubber teeth on the wall. And their mothers were in the building that I had just been in. And that was the first time that I ever knew that in order for us to have dairy products, babies are taken from their mothers from other mammals, females of another species. And I was vegetarian. I had been vegetarian for a long time, and I was consuming a lot of dairy products. And I'm also a psychologist, and my area of specialty is attachment and trauma. What we learn from our attachment to our caregivers in our early life. And I was horrified at myself that I had reached this age of my life, given the specialty that I was working in, and it had never occurred to me that we are breaking this sacred bond of attachment in other animals for something that we don't even need ourselves. So I went vegan straight away, and a process began then of undoing my own speciesism and expanding the sanctuary and becoming deeply involved in the cause. Most, 99% of it inspired and informed and prompted by the residents of the sanctuary that I was running.
Wow. And how did you become inspired to start the Go Vegan World campaign?
I was inspired by the residents of Eden. I think Eden is a very powerful place because of its residents. And I've learned so much about other animals through them. I mean, my first glimpse of sentience was in those first two lambs we rescued, when I first saw them jumping off their four legs, you know, for the sheer joy of being alive. But I knew that it was wrong to kill them, but I also... And I knew it was wrong to harm them, but I also realized that it was wrong to take their own purpose in life away from them and to kill them and to take that pleasure away from them, to take their life from them. And in particular, I learned about the exploitation caused by selective breeding in the egg industry and by default then in the dairy industry and the flesh industry through the animals that we had rescued. And I learned about all the ways in which I personally had failed to think about them, failed to have them in my conscious awareness and in my moral consideration, how I had failed to recognize their personhood. I hadn't recognized them as unique personalities with complex lives and a purpose in their own life. So I knew that Eden was playing a very important role for the few individuals who were fortunate enough to come to us, especially when we became very fond of them. And if they became ill, we nursed them through their illness, and we still lost them. And I had that early experience of horrific grief, really, with the first few that we lost that I was very close to, an experience that hasn't really got easier over the years. And while I knew that Eden was playing such an important role for those individuals, I knew that I was putting a huge amount of resources into this, particularly my own personal resources, because I had to stop my own clinical practice. I was short of money all the time. I was working very long hours, and it was physically very taxing and emotionally very taxing. And I knew that if I was putting that same energy into vegan education, if I could help anybody, even one person, to become vegan, we would prevent these animals from being bred into this life in the first place, and we wouldn't need sanctuaries. And there was, things have moved very quickly. So 4 years ago, certainly in Ireland, but in other countries as well, the animal rights movement was very quiet. It wasn't like it is today. And the term animal rights and the word vegan wasn't a household word like it is today. And I knew that if I could get their stories out, if I could tell the public what I had learned and confront other people with the information that I had been confronted with that made me go vegan, that things could change. And I was doing vegan education, and I was putting a huge amount of effort into it, but I was reaching so few people. So I had the idea that if I could advertise, if I could put public signs up, adverts on buses and billboards, with these small nuggets of information that prompted me to go vegan, if I could show these little nuggets of information that explained sentience and our moral obligation to be vegan to other people, that I might have a good chance of success. Particularly because we only ever see other animals as kind of a mass of species. We never see them as individuals. We only ever see them presented to us through the lens of the use that we can make of them. So pigs are presented to us as flesh, and turkeys are presented to us as flesh, and chickens are presented to us as producers of eggs, and cows are presented as producers of dairy products. And before I ran Go Vegan World, I wasn't aware of anywhere where the animals themselves were given a voice in their own movement on the street, where simply by presenting their photographs and these little nuggets of information, they were running their own animal rights campaign. So that was the inspiration, and we ran a very small number of ads in Ireland, and we got a huge amount of media attention.
Thank you. So how many of these advertisements have appeared around the world?
Well, the campaign began 4 years ago, and we run a few thousand ads every year just in Ireland and the UK, and we run ads on social media as well. So at this, tens of thousands, I would say. I've never counted them, but probably tens of thousands at this stage.
Wow. And how have people reacted to the campaign?
When I first ran the campaign, my phone never stopped ringing. There was a huge amount of media attention, which was wonderful, and a lot of publicity. People's workplaces and schools were buzzing with it. It was discussed on public transport. Even today, I have friends in health professionals and solicitors, and they tell me that the current campaign that's up in Ireland people are talking about it at work. They're talking about it in the canteen, during their breaks, during their lunch breaks. People have written to us to say that the ads have prompted them to go to our website, research what we're talking about, research animal rights and veganism, and go vegan. A lot of people download our free vegan guide from the website and visit the different pages on the website, particularly when we have a campaign up. So that's the positive side of it. I think because of the media attention, people have a better understanding of what veganism is. So we've had this great opportunity to be able to distinguish between animal welfare and animal rights, particularly because our campaign has been threatened since the day we started it. We've had the negative reaction with people trying to shut down our ads, and through that we've had some legal investigations. We've had investigations by the Advertising Standards Authority in the UK, and that's because of they've accused us of the information that we're giving people is misleading. And we've won those cases. They have found in our favour and found that our ads are not misleading. They're entirely accurate. In fact, they're quite understated. So that's given us a wonderful opportunity to distinguish between animal welfare, which is the legal exploitation, breeding, using and harming and killing of other animals for human use, and animal rights, which is that animals are sentient and they have the basic right not to be owned, used or exploited by humans for any reason. And we've also had the opportunity to explain to people that veganism is not a diet, it's a social justice issue based on other beings who are different to us but sentient, and because they're sentient they have the same basic rights as us not to be owned or exploited or killed. So we've had also the negative attention. A lot of people, mostly the farming and the animal agriculture industries, believe that we are anti-farmer, and we've been at pains always to point out that we're not anti-farmer, we're anti-animal use. And in fact, behind the scenes, we work very well with farmers. When I do radio and television interviews, farmers approach me afterwards. Many of them give their animals to our sanctuary, and quite a few of them are discussing with me how they can transition away from animal agriculture. So we've had positive and negative reactions, but even the negative reactions are important because it has opened the conversation about animal rights.
Yeah, it's very important to make the distinction between animal rights and animal welfare, so thank you for doing that. So do you have any idea of how many people have gone vegan as a result of seeing the advertisements? I know it would be hard to measure that.
It's hard to measure, yeah, and until we can measure it, I wouldn't dream of hazarding a guess. All we can say is that there is an increase in visits to our website and an increase in the download of our free vegan guides when people promote our work on social media and when we have a campaign up or when we do a radio or a television interview. People have written to us to tell us that they've gone vegan because of the campaign, simply because it's not that we are making other people go vegan. We are providing information that it is their right to know, and it's information that I wish I had known decades ago, and it's the information that I learned that made me go vegan. So we also know that people are discussing the campaign in public, in the newspapers, they're discussing it in their workplace, and it has had a huge impact, particularly in Ireland and the UK, where people couldn't even pronounce the word vegan when we first ran this campaign in Ireland 4 years ago. Wow. So I think that is very powerful, that it's now a household word, and even if the message has become confused because of people who are advocating vegan as a plant diet or as a lifestyle instead of as a social justice issue, it is a household word now. It's become normalised, and we're still doing all the work that we can possibly do to explain to people that it is more than a trendy lifestyle. It's a very serious issue. It's the most serious issue facing us at the moment.
Yes. So how do you explain to people who are not yet vegan why they should go vegan?
I rely on explaining to people that animals are sentient. And we all know that they're sentient because we know that the cats and dogs that we love at home are sentient. And we all know that the animals we use are killed for us. But people are able to retain that knowledge in their subconscious. It's not fully unconscious. We're not unconscious. It's in our subconscious, so it's hidden away really from our conscious awareness. Or we're keeping it pushed into the background because it makes us feel very uncomfortable. So by talking about animal sentience, we bring that information into conscious awareness where people are forced to confront it and examine it for themselves. So we talk to them about the moral obligation not to own or use or harm or kill other animals. A lot of the work we do is on dispelling the myth that animal use is necessary. And we have a campaign with 680 ads up in the UK at the moment with just that written on the ad, that animal use is unnecessary. And we've focused on the dairy industry, that we don't need cow's milk for calcium, we don't need animal flesh for protein, we don't need to consume eggs, we can eat plants instead. And whenever we can, we quote the scientific evidence to back up our claims on our ads, and all the scientific evidence that we rely on in our educational work is on our website. So we're not saying you need to take what we're saying at face value. We're saying please go and research this and do the work do the research for yourself. So a lot of we also have a new vegan department, a new legal department, that where we're focused on the protection of vegans' right to live without exploiting and killing other animals. So that's a huge part of our work at the moment, and it's an area that we are hoping to develop in the future.
So what sort of work are you doing with the issue of vegan rights?
Well, at the moment in Scotland, we have challenged the right of children of vegan parents to plant-based food while they're at school. And that's been very successful. It's been achieved very easily by explaining that veganism is a protected belief. And it's also got an awful lot of media attention. So again, this gives us this rare opportunity in the movement at the moment to bring the focus back on that veganism is the way in which we respect the rights of other sentient beings. It's a moral issue. It's a social justice issue.
Yeah, I totally agree. So what are your plans for the Go Vegan World campaign in the future?
At the moment, we think that we still have a winning formula. So if we can get the funding, we will continue what we're doing and we'll expand our campaign. We hope to develop our legal work. At the moment, we're doing a survey on living vegan in Ireland and the UK so that we can get a better idea of the kinds of obstacles and discrimination that people are experiencing when their right to live as vegans is made very difficult, particularly by state institutions.
Yeah, that's actually something that we're working on in Canada too. With Vegan Option Canada, I created a survey for Canadian vegans on the same topic. So it'll be interesting.
Right, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see the different the differences between the different countries too.
Yes, it will. Yeah. I think this is such an important area because this is such a serious topic, and it's been bastardized and trivialized in the movement at the moment. So any of us that are focused on this very serious aspect of it, we need support.
Yes, definitely. So is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'd encourage people to look at our website. So we have the goveganworld.com website, and EdenFarmedAnimalSanctuary.com, because the residents in the sanctuary are the animals who are pictured in most of our ads. So you can, it's very interesting to read their stories, to see them on the ads and then read their stories. We have a free vegan guide that we provide free of charge to people throughout the world, people who want to go vegan, and also other like-minded advocates. And we also have a number of schools, doctor surgeries and dietitians and people running their own vegan education courses who use that vegan guide. We also have bumper stickers that have our ads on them that people can use on their cars. And I think that's it, really. You know, the link between the sanctuary and what we've learned from the animals there and how they continue to inspire us in the work that we do at Go Vegan World.
Sandra Higgins, thank you so much for being on the show today. This was a great interview.
Thank you for having me, Carolyn.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, bye-bye.
That was my interview with Sandra Higgins of the Go Vegan World campaign. Now, I want to talk briefly about something called the Liberation Pledge. So, the Liberation Pledge is a pledge that some vegans take in which we pledge to live in accordance with three simple steps. 1. Publicly refuse to eat animals, live vegan. 2. Publicly refuse to sit where animals are being eaten. And 3. Encourage others to take the pledge. So, I've already been vegan for more than nine years, and for several months I've been avoiding sitting in places where other people are eating animals. Just yesterday I decided to officially take the pledge. Now, the website of the Liberation Pledge points out that using animals is inherently violent. The website goes on to say, quote, "To show this truth to the world, however, we have to make a public stand and create social norms around the idea that animals are not ours to use," unquote. They encourage people, quote, "to show respect for victims of violence, to demonstrate opposition to a brutal system, and to push all those around us to build a more peaceful world by refusing to eat animals or sit at a table where the victim's body is being eaten," unquote. Many people who have taken the pledge wear a bracelet made out of a fork to symbolize their commitment to the pledge. The Liberation Pledge was inspired by a pledge that was created in 1890 in China. That pledge from 1890 aimed to abolish the practice of foot binding. The pledge required families to make two commitments. 1. To never bind their daughters' feet, and 2. To refuse to allow their sons to marry women with bound feet. And according to the Liberation Pledge website, quote, "These pledges, while initially difficult, grew like wildfire and, after 1,000 years of suffering, completely ended the practice of foot binding. We can do the same for animals by refusing to participate in violent practices, but also refusing to accept violent practices in our community," unquote. If you're wondering how the pledge would work in practice, it basically means that before I go to an event where food will be served, I will ask the organizers to serve only vegan food. If they aren't willing to accommodate my request, I will leave the room for the period of time that people are eating animals. However, I am more than willing to help people figure out what vegan food they can serve at their events. Now, to close our show for today, let's listen to the song Just Like Us by Queen V. Queen V has said that this song was inspired by the chants that are often sung in marches. Now, please live vegan and remember to stand up and speak up for animal rights today and every day. Goodbye.
Please listen carefully.
Animals want to be free, just like they love their family. Not ours, for us to use.
cause we got a situation. 1,000 lives every minute sent to condemnation. A lack of love, humanity, where's the education? 1,000 lies told every day, deep within our nation. They breathe air like us, they get scared like us. We don't care enough, that's why this world's so unjust. The difference is you focus on it, superficial stuff. When you stop and think about it, they're just like us.
Well, I didn't see that coming.
Animals want to be free.
Oh my goodness.